From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Cameron Byerly, reading The Dawning by Hugh B. Cave. Now let's begin with Chapter 1. He had set the alarm for 7 a.m., knowing he must not be late this morning, or he might have no future. But the alarm was not necessary. The numbing enormity of what he was about to do had created such a turmoil in his mind that sleep was impossible. Not once had he even dozed off. At 2, at 3:30, again at 4:30, he had left his bed and prowled through the apartment, snatching up things he felt he must take with him, then discarding them with groans of frustration when he realized that they had to be left behind. Left behind for all time. Abandoned. No longer to be a part of whatever life he might still have. Then at 5:30 he got up to stay up, and by the glow of a flashlight, because there had been no power in this part of the city for nearly a month now, donned the clothes he had so carefully laid out the day before. And, this time in earnest, he took the empty backpack from the chair beside his bed and proceeded to put things into it. The very few, the heartbreakingly few possessions he was being allowed to take. It was like dying. He thought about it as he carried out this final tour of the apartment. In order to go on living, all of them must give up practically everything that made their lives worth living. Each could take only one pack, and it must not weigh more than 20 pounds. "And that means you weigh it," Jean Kyler had warned yesterday at the professor's place, where they had assembled for a last-minute briefing. "On your bathroom scales, for that's all you have. But weigh it. We'll have canoes and other junk to lug over these portages, yep, the guns too, and we won't be able to take more than 20 pounds each of personal stuff. And most of that had better be clothing and at least one pair of extra boots apiece, you hear? Because where we're going, there won't be any place to buy even a safety pin if we need one." Finding that funny, for some reason, Kyler had voiced that donkey bray laugh they had come to expect of him. "So be pretty damn sure you make every ounce count, you hear? Don't take anything dumb." Like books, Don thought, pausing in front of the bookcase that occupied an entire wall of his small living room. "We can take guns, but no books. Because, of course, Kyler owned a gun shop and loved his toys the way other people loved, well, the way Cricket loved animals. Birds, cats, dogs, all kinds of animals. Like the little Italian greyhound she called Rambi, because, she would explain, though he looked like a miniature Bambi, he was inclined to be pretty rambunctious. If she had to leave Rambi behind, she would not go, she had flatly stated.
"His 10 pounds can be part of my 20.
"And what do you expect to feed him?" Kyler had, of course, challenged. "We're not lugging dog food along, for Christ's sake."
In her own way, Cricket could be just as firm as the gun shop owner, even if much more quietly.
"Well, suppose you let me worry about that, Kyler."
None of them, not even his wife, ever called him Jean. It didn't sound right.
"If he can't find food for himself, which he will soon learn to do, I'm sure, then I'll share mine with him."
So Kyler would have his guns in the days ahead, but teacher Don Neal would have to do without books. Yet, personalities and personal feelings aside, it was really not illogical, was it? Without the guns, they might starve before learning other ways to obtain food. Not due at Cricket's until 8, and with time to kill, Don stood before his books a good while, feeling a need to fix a lasting picture of them in his mind. As a teacher of special kids in junior high, he had used books every working day of his life until the city's schools were shut down. One slender volume on the teaching of English had his own name on it, and next to it on the same shelf were magazines containing short stories he had written and a scrapbook full of features he had done for the Sunday Examiner. The magazines were no
Sample complete. Ready to continue?